Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, Apple's crowned their apps of the year, but will we agree with their choices?
Plus, the iPad 3 rumors, they're heating up weird app behavior. And we're going to show you how to learn how to play guitar the wild code.
All that, and a treat for all you font lovers. You know who you are on iPad Today.
Really? iPad Today is brought to you by Slingbox, which just turned your iPad into a television. Slingbox introduces their new iPad app, so now you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you take it. Check it out at Best Buy or Slingbox.com. And by Ford, featuring Wi-Fi connectivity with available sync and My Ford Touch. Now your car could be a Wi-Fi hotspot. Check it out in the new 2012 Ford Focus and at Ford.com/technology. Slow finger. Sometimes that happens.
That was a fake finger.
Isn't that a Pointer Sisters song? I want a man with a slow finger.
I want an iPad with an easy touch.
Sarah Lane, Leo LaPorte, I'm back.
Hi.
Thank you, MG, for filling in.
Why do you keep leaving?
He did such a good job. Why do I keep leaving?
Yeah. Where were you? You were back east.
It was Christmas.
It was fun.
I was back in Massachusetts.
You had a good time?
Where, by the way, I didn't know there were places in this country that have no cell reception, no bandwidth, nothing.
And that's where you were?
And that's where I was.
So how were you able to watch the show? Because you said that you watched it.
I watched it after the fact.
Oh, you did?
No, I didn't watch it live. Yeah, I watched it after the fact.
Well,
it was good, and I enjoyed it. What I really liked is the wall of computers. You both had your laptops.
MG said, well, you have your laptop out. And I said, well, you don't really need it because I'll drive everything. And
he didn't want to let you drive. Does he let you drive at home?
Yeah. I am always the driver.
That's what, as you get older in life,
people settle in, they swap.
No, and younger men tend to drive, and then the older men, the wiser, always.
You mean in the car?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I do that too. Well, yeah, just in general.
I don't want to know.
I'm just driving this day.
It's our year-end episode, which we had the right not to do. We had permission from the boss. We could not do this show and just do like a cut down of the best of. But you didn't want to do that.
Well, I didn't want to do that because that's a lot of work for an editor because there are so many best of moments on this show.
You just have to make a long show.
And also when it comes to iPads and apps, at the end of the year, it actually gets really interesting because people do their best of apps and top five lists. And it's kind of good to compare and contrast what we think compared to what a company like Apple says are the best apps of the year, for example.
Yes, because I'm not sure I agree, but we'll talk about that. And I have, as my app cap, the best app of the year.
Really?
Wait till you see this. You're going to love it.
Well, we'll find out,
won't
we? I'll be honest, whether I like it or not. So if you haven't already seen the Apple's App Stores, they call it 2011 Rewind, 2011 Rewind.
They do that every year.
Yeah. And it's good. It's actually, especially for anybody who's gotten a new iPad over the holidays or you're just looking for new apps, it's a very comprehensive list of lots of different apps in lots of different categories that Apple thinks is worthy of your time and often your money. We're not going to be able to cover all of them, but they did break it down sort of like overall app of the year. And then just because games are almost
games
their own little category.
Yeah.
App of the year. Game of the year.
So I'm going to do games because I'm a gaming kind of guy.
The two of us.
I have a lot of games on my iPad.
Right.
And you're going to do the kind of productivity, the mainstream.
Yeah. So app of the year that isn't a game.
And I agree with this. And it was a pick we had this year.
Yes. I think it was an app cap of mine or mm-hmm. it might have been in a photography theme.
No, it was your app cap. I'm pretty sure.
This is Snapseed.
Love it.
Okay, so let's open up Snapseed here. I thought I actually had it open already, but I didn't. Snapseed is a photography app that is probably your best bet
for filters.
Yeah, for not just filters that are ready-made, which we're all kind of used to, but so much customization within filters. So let's just go ahead and I'll open up a picture.
This is from a company called Nix Software that does filters for Photoshop and Lightroom that I love. I've used religiously. In fact, I became aware of them first on MacBreak Weekly on our photo shows. And then, of course, Adam Christensen, who does the MacCast, used to work at Nix Software. And they just this is a must-have for Photoshop users. And you get a lot of this functionality now built into the iPad.
Exactly. So this is a vintage filter. Okay, that's fine. You know, I can go ahead and apply it, or I can say, nah, it's not really what I want. I want to go back. You've got drama filter, which gives you...
that's dramatic.
Not all that much not all that much drama, but... What's great is that, okay, let's go back to selective adjust. Now, this is actually where I think a lot of the pros will be impressed, because I can go ahead and say, all right, here in this little plus area, I think this area here, and I can adjust that. And
ooh,
as you can see, Snapseed is saying, oh, you mean kind of like your hair area? You see, it's trying to decide exactly what you're
fantastic
talking about. So I can kind of, you know, that needs to be maybe a little brighter. Okay, so I'm on brightness here. Whoops. And now I can selectively adjust the brightness just in that little area.
That's
okay,
neat.
So now I've made the brightness 100%. I can go back to darker.
This is like almost like having Lightroom
exactly
on your iPad. This is amazing.
But even within, and this, it takes a little bit of a learning curve to kind of figure out, oh, you have brightness here or contrast or, ooh, saturation. So I can say, I want to take a lot of saturation out of our hair. This is sort of a weird example because our hair is sort of boring. But you can see I made his hair
quite a bit darker.
I liked
it when yours was red. That was cool.
That was kind of, well, that was just, it was.
That was showing you what the selection was.
It was Snapseed saying, I think this is what you're talking about, right?
Got it.
You can tune the image, variety of different ways. This is, you know, overall brightness type thing. Again, you've got ambiance. That's sort of new. Ooh, yeah, sort of darker or lighter type of thing. So you get the idea that there's so much within your control. Now, that's all fine and good, but a lot of people just like filters, and their filters are really good too. By the way, straightening a photo. Let's say you took a photo. I have this keen ability to take a... to take a shot of like the ocean at an angle.
Right.
I can't make it straight.
Right.
And
it's because you're tilted.
Curiously, few apps have a straighten filter.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice thing
that's built in.
Yeah.
It's very, very helpful. It really comes in handy.
So it's kind of like crop, except that you're straightening the horizons.
Yeah, exactly. It's based on the horizon.
Yeah.
It's actually, this picture is pretty straight, but you get the
idea.
This is something that you can do in iPhoto.
Right.
But again, that's usually what sets something like iPhoto apart from apps.
Right.
Anyway, Snapseed is amazing. I think it's...
How much?
Absolutely. It's $5. $4.99.
Well worth it.
$4.99 from Nix Software, NIKSoftware.com.
You'd spend hundreds of dollars on these Nix filters for the desktop. So this is really great.
Speaking of Nix, you know Nix Bilton, who always posts those beautiful Instagram
of
photos?
Of the New York Times, yes.
Do you know what his secret is?
No.
Snapseed.
No, he uses that.
Yeah, I finally got it out of him because it's like, you know, you're doing something. I'm not sure what it is.
So does he import
Snapseed?
Is there Snapseed for the iPhone, or does he import it into the iPad, then do it, and then upload it to Instagram? He must be doing that.
I'm not sure. But you notice that I don't think he's doing a lot of stuff in real time because he fools around with it and makes it beautiful. He also has a lot of followers, so, you know, he has to live up to himself. But that Snapseed, it's a great app. I mean, for $5, it could be the only photography app you ever have.
It's a must-have.
And you'd be happy.
I would agree 100%. It's a must-have.
The second...
I don't have it, by the way, so I'm going to download it right now.
You don't?
I don't know why. I must have had it at one time.
Probably. Well, you know, it's the only thing that's weird about Snapseed is the name. Because when I...
Doesn't say photo to me.
No, it actually sounds like some sort of like...
Farmville.
Horticultural type of a thing.
Yeah.
So that was Apple's app of the year. That's not a game. They're runner-up, and there's runner-up number one, and then there's a second runner-up. Runner-up number one is DJ. That's DJAY, all lowercase. This app is, by all accounts, amazing. Many professional DJs have talked about how the iPad has finally become a music tool that is as good as two turntables and a microphone. But it's $20.
Nobody anymore will bring turntables. I mean, some DJs still do, I guess. But you don't see turntables with dead mouse. But they want that scratch. They want that control.
Mm-hmm.
And this gives you that.
Now, I have... I downloaded DJ for the purposes of this show. And for $20... I think that you really need to, be honest with yourself, know what you're doing, or be prepared to put a lot of effort into
it.
Because that's an expensive app.
Yeah.
That said, It's beautiful. You load up songs. I have a couple songs preloaded, but you just go ahead and load up songs.
They also hardware things like this. But since so many people just want to bring their iPad, their music's on the iPad, they want to do the mix that way, this is great. So you have two songs playing.
Yeah, so this is the song I have going on the left-hand side.
Left and right, yeah.
If I want to go ahead and scratch.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, so there we go. And then I could just sort of play something on the second side.
And you fade the fader. You would, yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Hopefully this is upsetting everybody's cats.
Dead Mouse uses a controller with Ableton Live, I've learned. That's just great. You know, I'm going to go to the next dance, you DJ.
Okay, you guys get the idea. I mean, you can really get lost in here, but you have the ability, obviously, to, you know, sync two sources, to fade back and forth between the two. You can record sessions.
Don't give up your day job. It was all her.
It was me.
She was doing the mix.
I'm not a DJ. I'm the first to admit
it. No, it's a hard thing to do, but this is what DJs need to do. They need to segue songs, but they also sometimes want to mix them. They want to scratch. Mm-hmm. It does all of that. And the music's on your iPad, which is great.
Absolutely. Yeah, so anything that you've got on your iPad is fair game here, and it can be a lot of fun. You can record mixes, share with your friends. You can take this to a party and, like, actually wow people. You can make money. I mean, it's a beautiful app. It's pretty intuitive, even though I have no skills.
I was watching you do it and knowing you were doing it wrong right from the beginning.
Oh, come on.
I'm just
not good at it. But that's DJ. It's $20 for anybody who's serious about DJing, especially if you have analog equipment. It's definitely worth a go if you haven't tried it out yet. And finally, okay, runner-up number two is something that we have not covered on iPad Today
now,
ever.
Are they doing this based on sales, or this is an editorial pick, what they think is the best?
It's editorial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know that DJ mixer sold very well. That was a very popular piece of
extremely
software.
Popular. I don't know that Snapseed was ever in a top anything.
No, maybe not.
In fact, it's still pretty obscure for a lot of people.
Should be.
But Jamie Oliver's Recipes is the second runner-up. It's a cooking app.
Well,
if you're not familiar with Jamie Oliver, he's a well-known chef. He's currently working on a series about getting kids.
Restaurant clogs.
Getting kids in Los Angeles to eat better through the Los Angeles.
Oh, yes,
school
I saw that.
System.
That's really cool, yeah.
So if we, you know, we can go back.
He's been just so down on school lunches, and they're terrible.
So
and he wants to make them healthy food.
Yeah, exactly. And he's kind of a crusader as far as
right on.
Being able to eat well, but also not, you know, hurt yourself with food that's bad for you. So this is a recipe app. I think that what makes it awesome is...
Look at that. It's beautiful.
Yeah, this is nice looking. I mean, yep. You've got all sorts of choices here. Obviously, you can search by name or ingredient. That's always what I think is most important with recipe apps, because I usually don't fire up recipes unless I'm like, I've got a bell pepper. What do I do with it? You know, I need to start somewhere. Actually, that's funny. Real pepper with roasted veggies. I'm into that. Let's look at that. So then, you know, so here you've got a couple different videos that might be usefully related to whatever you search for. It's not that there are videos for every single recipe, I think what I like about this is that if you're into Jamie Oliver as a brand, you know, you've got a very nice, very visual step-by-step type of a tutorial here. You know,
every one of these TV chefs is now doing this. But this is a very nicely done version, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it a lot. You can get, you know, easy ingredient lists. If you just want to go to the grocery store, add to the shopping list. Pretty much all cooking apps do that. But this is definitely for fans of Jamie Oliver himself. Now, if you're not a fan, you're probably still going to get a lot out of this app. But it's kind of a celebrity app,
right.
I guess.
Right.
So I don't know how that factors into why Apple chose it or not. But it's free, so that's a leg up on other cooking apps. I think some of our favorite apps, Epicurious, How to Cook Everything, not free.
Right.
Not their pro versions anyway.
Right.
So
I think Apple's very much influenced by design. And what you'll probably see in all of their best of their Rewind apps is going to be the best looking apps.
I think, too, is apps get rewarded for sort of this Apple cover flow-like quality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this looks like something that
Apple would
would make even themselves.
All right, well, let's get to the games. And I have to say, I do not agree with Apple on this on their game of the year. It's an Electronic Arts game for 99 cents. And that's because Electronic Arts comes at you with offers and ads constantly in the damn game, which drives me crazy.
It's called, not really 99 cents. It's just 99 cents to get in the door?
No, it's not in the sense that you don't have to buy more stuff, but there's a lot of come-ons, you know.
Yeah.
So this is called Dead Space. I am not a fan of first-person shooters on the iPad. I think controls on the iPad are just too difficult. So the way this works is you move the guy by your finger on him, right?
That's already a little weird.
Yeah, I don't like that. And then you change your look by this way. This is my problem with first-person shooters, and you know, maybe it's because I'm poorly coordinated or something, but I just don't. Now, it's a good-looking game, and it's a fun game. But I just find it very difficult to.
Now, I wonder if that's just sort of like how we all thought that typing on a touchscreen was really difficult at first, and then we got used to it.
I would just say that the best Apple games, the best iPad games, take advantage of the touchscreen and don't try to duplicate traditional games on the desktop or on consoles. And this is an example of a kind of a classic first-person shooter on an iPad, and so it doesn't take advantage, in my opinion, of the touch interface very well. It just bugs me. I think they could have done. I just wouldn't have chosen this. Now, if you're a first-person shooter fan, maybe you love it. But I think if you're a first-person shooter fan, you're not playing games on the iPad. The games that work the best on the iPad for me are Plants vs. Zombies, Angry Birds. They use the touch in a new, innovative way.
Right.
Angry Birds, you just do up. Plants vs. Zombies, you tap, tap, tap. Those, to me, are the gold standard, and I don't think this lives up to the gold standard. Now, let me show you what I do think, and these are the runner-ups. So that's Dead Space, 99 cents. Perhaps it wins because it's very inexpensive. This is the second winner. I think this is a much more classic iPad game. If you played World of Goo, or remember Spirit, which was one of my picks? This is very much like this. It's called Contre Jour. For a while, it was going to be one of my picks. This is a little more expensive. I think it's, what is it, $1.99?
$2.99.
And they have an iPhone version.
That's from Chillingo, and they did Cut the Rope.
Chillingo, it is very Cut the Ropey. Chillingo is very good. Now, first of all, listen to the music. Both this and the next game are very focused on soundtrack and suggest even at the beginning of the game that you put on headphones.
Oh.
And I think it's true. It's beautiful.
That's cool.
It's beautiful.
I'm into that.
So the idea is you're trying to get, you know, I should probably go back to the menu and play a lower level. The idea is you're trying to get this little guy. It's one of those three-star level things, just like Angry Birds.
This is a Heartstrings app, I can tell already.
You're going to love it. It's like that dinosaur, silly dinosaur game. So you're trying to get this little guy
home.
Okay?
He's got one eye.
So there's two things you can do with him. Well, there's a number of things. One is you can move the ground. Okay? Isn't that fun? So you can get him to roll, for instance.
This is totally a fun physics app.
It's a physics app.
I love this stuff.
And collect these dots on the way to his home.
So if he rolls off the screen, is it game over type thing?
You can't roll off
the screen. Like he doesn't
have enemies? No game over. It's not
really?
An enemy game. It's just, it's a physics game. It's a puzzle game in the sense that you have these tools. I'll go to another level so you can see there's some other tools. If I go to, let's go to level 4. You also have things like this, which I can swing and attach to him. Oops. Boing. You can see it's a fun game. See, let me explain what I'm trying to do. I want to get him, you want to get these little blue lights before you get him in his home zone, right?
Uh-huh.
So one thing is you could have him roll to the little blue lights, right? And move the ground that way. But how am I going to get him up here? Well, I'm going to use this. Whoa.
Whoa.
Move him. There we go. Now, I don't think I'm going to be able to get him up, so I'll just get him into the home zone. But that will only get me 2 stars, right? So that's the idea. You know what? You will love this game, Sarah.
I already love
this
it.
This is your kind of game.
I already game. Love it. It's not like high pressure.
It's not. It's fun.
It's kind of just.
And to me, it uses the touch mechanics much better than Dead Space.
I do think that, yeah, that iPad works so much better on a game like this.
Yes.
Than on the Dead Space, which seems sort of like a clunkier version of a
right.
PC game.
So that's called Contre Jour, which is does that mean against the day? I'm not sure what that means. But so it's a little bit of a weird name. Maybe why it wasn't as well known as it should be. I love that game.
I had never, ever heard of it until the App Store came out with its 2011
I was going to make it a pick, actually, in AppCap, and something else came up that week. This one's called Super Brothers Sword and Sorcery. First of all, I got to show you this. The icon on the iPad has the hashtag. This is going to, you're going to start seeing this. I hate it everywhere.
Wait, what?
Pound SWORCERY. Not the name of the app, but a hashtag, hoping that you will tweet about it using that hashtag.
That's annoying.
I don't like this. This is an interesting game. This is like a hipster game.
Okay. I'm into it.
Unique design. If I go to this info bar, you'll see.
Oh, hey. How's it going?
Hey.
Want a jam?
Hipster.
Yeah.
Right?
Let's rock.
Let's rock. This is totally not what I thought it would be at all. You see sword and sorcery and you think something, you
it's
know,
it's not with what you think. It's
dragons.
It's weird 8-bit.
Okay.
Let me see if I can get the credits. Well, I guess I can't. There we go. The music is, again, really cool so it's a collaborative video game type project made in Toronto. Swordandsorcery.com.
Okay.
So it's the Super Brothers who did the art and design, but they didn't actually do the music. That's Jim Guthrie, who people will know.
Uh-huh.
Very talented musician. And then the programming is done by somebody else, Capybara Games.
I like capybaras. They're a funny little animal.
Yeah. So this is kind of an interesting collaboration. I'll show you just a little bit of the gameplay. It's an expensive. It's the most expensive of the three. I think it's $6.99, and
it's $4.99 at least right now.
$4.99. I'm sorry.
That might be a special because everybody's excited to have been chosen.
But this is not a sword and sorcery game. It's really a platformer and an exploration game. Oh, I've gone in somewhere, which I shouldn't have done. I should go back to the beginning.
Well, it's okay. This is a realistic.
I don't even know what I'm doing now.
You don't know.
I went in a room.
You seem to have. You're under some sort of.
Inside the hut, we spied a little round something or other above the hearth.
Ooh,
yes,
that's
what I see.
Yeah.
So what do I do with it? I tap it. So it's a little bit of an exploration game. See, I do have a sword. Yeah, I know. So what
I think you need to think about doing something else.
Yeah. So this is kind of an adventure game?
These are the sorts of games that
drive me crazy.
Well, they frustrate me because I get to a level and then I don't know what to do now. Machinarium did. I had to stop.
I like Machinarium, which is because it's beautiful.
It's beautiful,
this is
but
not,
I...
You can't say this is beautiful.
It made me frustrated.
This is more like the Atari 2600 Adventure level 8-bit.
I
apologize because I went in here.
But yeah, for $5, I don't know.
Well, you're not seeing... Oh, finally, I got out.
Oh, good.
So let's leave the hut. So I explored the hut. So now we're in a more normal kind of platformy kind of realm. You tap the ground to move.
I guess I'm a little confused by the sword and sorcery.
I have a sword.
Yeah, but I mean, are you a sorcerer?
Oh, well, here's a bad guy. Let's see what happens.
Okay. Hello, sorcerer. What say you?
The wood-chopping woodsman chopped wood.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. To the mountain folk of the Caucasus, he was known as Logfella. And he seemed cool. Logfella knew all about our woeful errand, and he agreed to lead us up the old road. Still, we definitely got the feeling he wasn't super jazzed about this. You get the idea. This is to an extreme.
I kind of like the language.
Yeah, it's cute. So now we're going to follow Logfella.
It is kind of cute.
Look, I got to give it credit. It's innovative. Whether it's a great game, I don't know yet, because mysterious.
Yeah, it makes me think that Apple is interested in games that just don't look like other games, because this certainly doesn't look like anything I've seen before.
Well, this is a runner-up. Remember, they gave the very standard Electronic Arts game their pick.
But then, even of the two runner-ups that we've both seen...
Contra-Jure, which was a well-known game
Sorcery.
At the time.
There are still other best of games that they added into the rewind section.
Yeah, you don't
These
get, I mean,
the top three.
There's so many. I think the iPad is a great gaming platform, and that's really the bottom line. But I would like to say, if you're going to do a game on the iPad, use the control. Don't try to duplicate a desktop or a console game. Use the unique touch and zoom. And this game is a good example of something that really does, in fact, user interface.
I kind of do like it. I'm not crazy about that 8-bitty retro thing that some people go gaga for. But I think this looks really nice.
It's making a statement.
Hey.
Yeah. Hey. What up? He wasn't super jazzed about this.
Is this not a hipster game? I mean, am I wrong?
I think it is. I think that's why Apple picked it. I'm not really sure. So, okay. So you have the top kind of six all around best as chosen by Apple. Some of their picks are great. Some of them are a little questionable.
But the music's good on this. If you like Guthrie, which everybody does.
We know those Toronto hipsters.
It is.
They know their music.
It's interesting.
It's good stuff.
I'm not sure why the 8-bit. But you get used to it. It's a style.
It's probably easier to draw.
Isn't the music just... I think the music on this is much more varied than Contre-Jure and quite good. There's a sword.
It's good.
In a stone, I think. So there's some mystery here.
All right, all right. So while you're figuring out that level, I just want to remind people that all of these links to all of the apps that we talked about here gave you six. Good, solid
Holy
choices.
Cow.
One even free at twit.tv/IPT. That is the mothership of our show, where all of our show notes live, old episodes. Maybe you missed one. Maybe you want to watch a few again. If you ever thought, well, did they ever do a theme on cooking apps or exercise apps? You can do searches for those. You know, they'll all come up for you. And yes, we have. We've done a theme on almost everything, although I'm sure we can pull a few more out before we get to episode 100, which is not that far away, by the way. We're on episode 78.
It's amazing. I didn't think the show would last 10 episodes.
You know, last week MG said, because I said, it's a palindrome episode. That makes me excited. 77.
Same forward, backwards, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
And he said, it's amazing that you've... He said, how many weeks have you missed? And I said, zero.
We've never missed
a week.
Not a week.
77 consecutive weeks. And he said, it's amazing that you can say that for a platform that just didn't even exist just a couple of years
back.
That's
true. That's true. It's one of Twit's most popular shows. And... I think it's because of the success of the iPad. We've got some iPad rumors coming up. Before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about Slingbox. I think a lot of slings were slung over the holidays because, wow, what a great device. You go to this, go to slingbox.com to find out more. You go to Best Buy or Amazon and you buy the Slingbox. Very affordable. It plugs into your whole TV system at home, your home theater. So your DVR, your DVD player, your satellite or cable box, they all go into the Slingbox. It's got pass-throughs for all of that. And then Ethernet. Now, what you've done... in an amazing way is you've put your whole home theater system online. Only you can access it. You need a password. But you can now watch anything you would watch at home on your iPad, of course, your iPhone, your Android device, your desktop, laptop, Mac top, PC top, whatever top you got. You can start thinking about how the applications, if you were traveling for the holidays, wouldn't you have liked to have been able to watch the big game, the local game, or if you could even take it in through the house, which is kind of nice. It suddenly makes that iPad a full television device, and that's really what I like about it. You get the Sling Player on your iPad, the Sling Box at home, and you're set. You can find out more if you go to slingbox.com. It's available at Best Buy, Amazon, lots of other retailers, but slingbox.com, the place to go. High def, great quality, over the internet. Watch your home theater system anywhere you go as long as you can get online. Even on 3G, it works great. Slingbox.com. Now, it's time for the nudes.
There was a rumor that went through the... I saw it on Tech Meme this morning as I was just sort of combing the general news. This comes from Digitimes.
All the rumors come from Digitimes.
Well, not all of
them. That's the Taiwanese industry journal for the high-tech components companies.
Right.
And because they have their fingers on the pulse of the component industry, they always, before anybody else, know what's being bought by what companies.
If something comes from the supply chain side of things, then eventually it's going to have to come out on the Apple side of things. So Digitimes is a little, you got a grain of salt type thing.
So they've been good on some and they've been wrong on some.
Right.
And in this case, they're saying Apple's buying these high-res screens, these high-def screens.
And now this is why this rumor just seems outlandish to me, is that Apple wants to keep the current iPad 2 as sort of a, almost like the lower end model.
Right.
Come out with two new versions of an iPad with better Retina display.
No.
One with a 5-megapixel camera. The higher priced model with an 8-megapixel camera. And that they're going to announce it at iWorld. What's iWorld? Well, that's the
Macworld Expo.
That's the iOS part of Macworld that Apple pulled out of years ago.
it's
rubbish, right?
So
sounds like rubbish.
It sounds like rubbish. Well, I don't buy it. I think that when I always have to, and you know what happens is I do the radio show, but then I'll appear on other radio stations and they'll always ask me about these rumors because people who don't know that these rumors are kind of sketch say, oh, this is good news. We've just learned iPad 3. No, we've learned nothing.
Right.
Apple doesn't say this is a rumor and who knows. I don't think it's, frankly, it's very credible.
Well, now, given the timing, it's not very credible. I mean, even if they were going to announce something at the end of January, why would they do it at iWorld? Apple would just have their own event.
Right.
But what if it's, you know, a couple months later? More when we would expect an iPad 3 to come out.
Here's what I would expect, regardless of what Digitimes says. And again, even though they have their finger on the pulse of the suppliers, they've missed many, many times. So it doesn't that doesn't give them a kind of any inside track. I think we will see higher res displays. This is a pretty low display, the res display, 1024 by 768. Mm-hmm. If they can make them, I think we will see higher resolution displays for the iPad. I don't think you'll see... Part of the problem Apple faces, and it's a problem they face with the iPhone too, as well, they don't want to change... They have two resolutions, and that's it right now. So for developers, you develop for the iPad, and you saw how hard it was to get iPad apps, or you develop for the iPhone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Apple wants to fragment that world. So they're going to think long and hard before they increase the resolution. I think the world would like it. I don't know if Apple will do it. I do think they will improve the camera. I hope they improve the camera. This is a terrible camera.
But I don't know that a 5-megapixel version and then an 8-megapixel version...
That makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense if that's really the only difference between the two.
No. They've already bought all those 8-megapixel sensors for the iPhone. I think they just put those in the iPad.
I think so,
I hope so. That's what I'm voting for.
What's interesting about this rumor, though, is it says, listen, Apple's not going 7-inch tablet, which actually, that makes sense to me.
Because we heard a rumor like 3 months ago that they were. So I don't know.
I know. And a lot of people would be excited about it.
I don't think they will.
Because they want that small.
We've talked about this on MacBreak Weekly. Andy Inoko is very strong in his opinion, and I agree with him. Apple does not want to fragment the developer space. They won't have a whole range of different sizes. That's the Android problem, and I don't think they're going to do that. I think that they will, in fact, they will think long and hard before they make a high-res display for the iPad. I think that, you know, they made that jump in the iPhone world. It makes sense they make the jump in the iPad world, but that's it. There'll be an iPhone high-res, there'll be an iPad high-res, and that'll be it.
And will the price for iPad 2s drop to make it more of a Kindle Fire competitor?
No, I don't think, traditionally, Apple does not do that.
Right, unless they're really old.
Unless, when they're dumping the inventory, they'll lower the price.
They're
not going to have two versions of anything. They want to have Apple understands, and I think they're right. Maybe Steve's gone. This is going to change. But until now, Apple's really understood that you don't want to confuse consumers. You want one version. People buy that version, and you don't come out with another version for a year at least. And that's, I think there's no reason to think Apple will change that.
Digitimes, we're on to you. Do your homework. We got an Ask Leo. This comes from Gary in Australia. Hi, guys. He says, after creating a new playlist on my iPad and populating it with music tracks and then allowing it to sync with a computer on my Wi-Fi network, I'm distressed because the iPad playlist keeps being erased. What am I doing wrong? I don't know.
What's he using that's erasing it?
He's creating a playlist on his iPad through iTunes.
And it gets erased.
When he syncs with his computer.
Yeah.
But why?
Well, I guess it's a one-way thing. You know, maybe the chat room can help us with this. Is this... Oh, I think this is a one-way street. So what you're syncing with is your desktop. You're not syncing back the playlists, right? Somebody in the chat room, Franklin Graves, is saying, drag and drop the iPad playlist before syncing.
Well, yeah, because the music, the playlist is only going to work if you also have that music on your desktop. And if you're not syncing that, then that might be the problem.
So you've got iTunes, and this is on the desktop. You've got iTunes. You see what's in your iPad. You can drag that playlist up into the playlists that iTunes have to save it. Otherwise, if you have automatically managed music on, which he does, it will erase those. It will copy the playlist from the desktop to the iPad, and it's a one-way transfer. So I think you've got it right, exactly right, the chat room, again, for the win. Go on to iTunes. Look at the contents of the iPad once you've synced it. Don't sync it once you've connected it. And to save those playlists you created on the iPad, drag them up into the iTunes playlist section.
Somebody in chat said, why doesn't it just work?
Yeah, it just works.
So there's a lot of things about iTunes, I think, that are not very intuitive and don't just work.
It's been a myth for years that it just works.
We got another bonus Ask Leo. This one comes from John in Boston.
Stump Leo time.
Thank God for the chat room. It's hard to do that. He needs more from an app he likes a lot called Nightstand.
Hey, Leo and Sarah. This is John in Boston. I just had a quick question for you on an app. If you see my iPad behind me, I am running Nightstand, which is a really nice app. It does the clock, the weather, nice backgrounds, but it doesn't do what I really wanted with Twitter feeds. I would really
Twitter
prefer
feeds.
To see my Twitter feed on like at least half the screen and have it update automatically as the day goes on. Basically so I can put it next to my computer monitor at work and just kind of keep in touch with what's going on Twitter. So if you had any recommendations for an app, I'd love to know what it is because I can't seem to find one. And just one last question, Leo, is this what Sarah looked like when you guys were in Paris? Anyway, love the show and look forward to watching you guys again. Thanks.
John, you're great.
What the hell happened there?
I don't know. I mean, he got most of it right, except I think the software
was doing that. I think he was using some weird software.
It's kind of fun.
Probably on Windows. Oh. I don't know if any Mac program.
Oh, John. So it sounds like he loves Nightstand, but he just wants
to. I do, too, and I've got
exist.
Nightstand here. I think I've shown you Nightstand.
You
I like
have.
It. It's one of our clock apps.
Yes.
And the idea is this could be on your nightstand. You put it in a frame, and you've got it. He mentioned there's backgrounds that you could put. Behind a different kinds
you can
of
go
clocks.
Analog or digital.
Yeah,
we can
have a Nixie tube clock, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
I didn't even know it did Twitter feeds. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe that's what he's saying. By the way, I love this feature. You can have a math puzzle before you can disable the alarm. So if you're still groggy trying to disable it, you can't. I like that feature. I don't see Twitter feeds in here. So what he wants is. He wants a clock, but then he also wants, like, a ticker tape, I would guess, of his Twitter feeds.
Yeah.
So Ice Cream in our chat room is saying Trickle.
Ooh, Trickle. I think I've got the... Oh, gosh,
and Tally Ho is saying Streamboard. So I don't know either of these, but...
We actually have talked about Trickle before. Trickle is a way that your Twitter feed will... It's almost like it'll...
Trickle across the screen?
Exactly.
Huh.
But I don't remember there being a clock associated with Trickle.
So, yeah, I presume that he wants a... You have Trickle. You have Trickle for
trickle,
Twitter
too.
And Trickle for Facebook. There's also Twitter Stream HD, I see. These are all... This is kind of pretty. Twitter Stream HD does little thought bubbles of your tweets.
Oh, that's nice.
But I don't see so I presume that you want to keep the clock. Anything that has a clock in it, kids, chat room, why not just buy a clock? Somebody's why have a $700 digital clock?
That defeats the fun of finding the perfect app. There are workarounds, yes, but John would like something.
It's
that
a good point. Point well taken. We don't have an answer for you.
Perhaps if you are at the computer and there's a clock associated, you know.
He's saying Nightstand for iPad, but I think that that's what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's another Nightstand. You know, this is the problem with having half a million apps.
Sure, you've got Nightstand for iPad.
It says Nightstand HD. I don't know. Oh, you know what? There are a number of them. Remember we talked about this is the one with 420 in the time? And then there were other ones? He must have been talking about the other one. So maybe that's it. There are other nightstands. Nightstands for iPad is a social reader. So this is the problem when you have half a million apps.
Well, you know what's so funny is that before we got this question, I'm run out of space in my iPad. They're all apps, obviously, that, you know, just from accumulating on the show. And I got rid of a lot of the nightstand apps because I went, well, it's going to be a while before
we'll
we talk
never
about
do those
nightstands
again.
And, of course, it would have been nice
so
if I had
So there's Nightstand Central, but that's not the one they were talking about.
Nightstand Central is...
I do remember now when we talked about Nightstand, we said, get the one with 420.
We did. No, that was not the one.
Nightstand for iPads. So here it is. Social
420 was a
social reader weather. And oh, this is neat.
Wait a second. Okay.
So this puts the Twitter feed in the bottom.
Okay. So
he says he doesn't like that.
He wants something that's just bigger. I think now this is not the answer you're looking for, but I think that you should ask the developer because maybe that's something that they could add in. That's not too hard.
Well, take a look at the Trickle and do the Trickle thing. In the nightstand thing, because I like the little clouds that float by. Maybe you could have little puffy clouds with tweets floating by. Or birds. Birds could be flying, and they could be trailing the tweets out behind them.
Best app ever. So there you go, John.
There's
that was helpful.
There's 38 apps with the word nightstand.
It's kind of ridiculous.
No wonder the confusion.
I've wondered why people like Nightstand app so much, but it's, you know, it's because sometimes you're not using your iPad and you want it to do stuff for you while it's kind of getting...
We have, and I haven't installed it, but somewhere we have a giant ticker that does tweets from a guy at MIT designed
it. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Where did that go?
I don't know. I want to get it back in here. Well, you know, there's a fear.
Yes.
That people might use it in bad ways.
Oh, you know? Right.
Because we couldn't really control it. It'd just be using a hashtag and the tweets would appear. John says, I'm not putting that on camera. All right. Good point.
Fine.
Tweet animation clock. Is that such a thing, or are you just making up a name?
While we find something, why don't we toss to yourself in an outdoor situation?
I think we should. You know, we had those Fords. Did you ever drive the Mustang?
No.
Who drove the Mustang? Because I didn't get to see. We had a 2012 Mustang, a 2012 Focus, a 2012 Fiesta. I got the Fiesta. But I had a great time.
It's probably Tom.
I hope it was somebody.
It was somebody.
Tweet animation. Look at this.
The country.
Tweet animation clock.
Uh-oh.
This is, once again,
uh-oh,
the chat room for the win.
Let's see.
It's ugly.
Yeah, it is.
But they're big.
Well, so, you know, if you're not concerned with anything that's...
They're little or they're big.
Pleasing,
and it's 99 cents.
Answer.
There you go. A simple
cents.
Way to view your tweets and keep up with the time.
It's 6:21. Thank God I know that.
I'll tell you what. I'll download this while we take a look at the 2012 Ford Focus. We had a little bit of fun. Watch.
So we're back at the Twit Brick House, and I have a volunteer. Michael here is going to... Well, Michael here is... Michael, see, when you go on a long car trip, nice to have something for the kids to do. I brought a little laptop. I got my iPhone. He's got his iPad. But what about the Wi-Fi? Oh, no problem. I brought along my Wi-Fi access spot, a.k.a. my Ford Focus. So, Michael, hop in here. You get in that side. I'm going to get in this side. I'm going to show you how I can use this USB Wi-Fi dongle or 3G dongle to turn this into a Wi-Fi access spot. When you travel with kids, as you know, it's really nice to have some entertainment for them. They like to get online. Maybe they want to surf the web or do a little email, play some games. Ford's realized that getting connected inside your car is a big deal. That's why they have added Wi-Fi access capability to the 2012 Ford Focus. Let me show you how it works. I take this, this is a Virgin Mobile, but a lot of companies make these. It's a USB 3G transmitter. Now, normally you plug this into the computer and the computer is online, but what if we have more than one device? We can get up to 5 devices online by plugging this into the Focus. Now, that is going to turn the whole car into an access spot. So now Michael can put his iPad on the Wi-Fi in the car. I can put my iPhone on the Wi-Fi in the car. Up to 5 devices. I even have one of these Google Chromebooks, which likes having a little Wi-Fi so it can get online. And here I go. I just connect it up, find the Wi-Fi access spot, pick it, put in the password, and I'm online. I love this. As we drive down the highway, everybody's happy. Thank you, Ford. One of the many nice features in the Ford Focus for 2012, and of course, available on other Ford vehicles. Why don't you go to your Ford dealer and drive one today? Or visit the website, ford.com/technology. You ready to go? All right, let's hit the road.
Michael never said a word.
You also didn't actually drive anywhere.
No.
You talked about driving.
I wasn't going to actually drive anywhere.
No.
I had to go back to work. So I downloaded Tweet Animation Clock, and all I could say is don't.
Why?
Because it has not been updated. It uses the old form of Twitter authentication. It does not support the new form. It's from 2010.
Oh.
And because he hasn't updated it, it's 99. I just wasted 99 cents. Don't waste your money.
Leo wasted 99 cents, so you
didn't
don't have to.
Exactly.
Don't
get it because they have it. You know, Twitter changed how they do. They force everybody to use OAuth now, authentication, mm-hmm, which is much safer, much better. But apps had to be updated. This app was not. So
since 2010, I wouldn't even download anything that had been left alone for a year.
April 1st, 2010. You think maybe I got bit? April Fool's joke.
You got bit by the blah
anyway,
stick.
So by the blah,
yeah, they're
I'm deleting
it. Sticks. It's
so
a
that
new
while that's
breed.
A good idea because it does in fact do exactly what our correspondent wanted. It's not not working because it's not up to date.
We got an email from Helen Russell. She lives in Campbell River, British Columbia, and says, Zyte was mentioned as you were talking about some of your favorites being Flipboard. This was last week. MG and I both love Flipboard, but we mentioned Zyte is kind of a competitor.
Yep.
She says, as far as Zyte goes, can you tell me the point of, did you enjoy reading this, the yes or no question that Zyte
gives
important. You?
That's the most important thing.
Very. But she says, if you say yes, then the app says you'll see more stories similar to the one you liked. But if you say no, then it blocks the source of the article rather than
good.
The substance of the article. And then she says, all the best for 2012. Thank you, Helen. Helen, I have good news for you. You, for whatever reason, got this wrong, but it's a good thing. So I've got Zyte open here, and I'm looking at top stories. I have already told Zyte that I prefer technology-type stories, so that's why all of these top stories are technology-focused. But let's say that I really do not like this Foursquare article from VentureBeat. I'm not into it. I've read it. Personalization area, this is what she's talking about here. Did you enjoy reading this? Now I have a yes or a no option. If I say no, now I have another option to block VentureBeat, but I don't have to click that.
Oh.
If I do, it'll
then you
say,
won't see it anymore.
Now are you sure that you want to hide all future articles? I can block VentureBeat, but Helen's gripe is that it'll block a source completely, even if there's just one article that you don't like. And that's not actually true. You can just block the content. Now, of course, you're going to have to trust Zyte a little bit and use this in order to get more of the articles that you want and less of the articles that you don't like. But you don't actually block the source. So if that was any source of confusion for you, I hope that clears it up, because Zyte is actually pretty awesome as far as getting to know you and the sort of stuff that you want to read.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know all about Zyte.
We got something else. Wait a minute.
What, Leo?
Is this Marilyn who sent us this zoo article, the zoo story?
Yes.
Marilyn. Well, let's watch.
Well, it's not really anything to
watch. I
want to
watch, though.
But, no,
is
well,
it just you're going to tell me the story?
It's just an article. I will tell you the story.
I want to see orangutans using iPads.
Well, I know. Wouldn't it be nice if it was video? It wasn't
it's not.
Video. But
oh,
this,
crap.
Here's the story. And this is actually...
I just wanted to see him. Because I got to tell you something. I don't buy it.
Why?
Because they're going to break it.
Well, that's why they have to play through the cage. Now, and that kind of makes me sad a little bit.
Yeah.
By the
way, didn't you see Planet of the Apes?
This is not a brand new story, and I can't believe that nobody sent it to us. And if any of you did, I am sorry that I missed it, because I would have put it in the show months ago.
Apparently there's video on the BBC. I'm finding it.
Please do. The story is that orangutans, it turns out, take to the iPad. And in fact, at the Milwaukee County Zoo... zookeepers, monkey experts.
The headline's good. There's an ape for that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That, well, there is. They have been working with orangutans to let them play iPad apps, and they say that even after repeated use, they've got apps that they like. They know how to navigate. The problem is that you think, you see these pictures of apes like playing through the cage, and that sort of tugs at your heartstrings a little bit.
Yeah, because they're in a cage.
But I guess, the issue is that they're very, very, very strong animals, and they could just snap an iPad in half if they got frustrated.
Yeah.
And I've gotten really frustrated with my iPad before, so there you go.
Here we are. This is the orangutan keeper from the Milwaukee Zoo.
Allowed the orangutans to have their exposure to it through the public glass windows. The orangutans
That's
were
really
allowed to watch different videos of other animals in the park, of themselves.
Sybil says that's what they made Gorilla Glass for.
As if it was a mirror.
Right?
We could record their
reactions. This is like an onion story. I don't buy it. Look at this chimp.
We had immediate
if you were a human, you could have an iPad.
It's really exciting to watch. Their amazement, instant interest in what was taking place on the iPad.
Lover.
And as they started to realize that
they did let them touch it. Look at that. Look at that. That is kind of cool.
About a month after we gave them their
first... All right, well, we don't need to watch
the
whole thing.
Enough. You can watch that. It's on YouTube.
You get the idea.
There you go. I just wanted a finger going like that, and we got one.
And that's what you got. I think... That's adorable. I feel bad for animals that are in cages, and I hope that it makes their life more worth living. We got a tweet from Keith Steckler on Twitter. He actually, just sort of randomly, I found this, pointed us to a really cool iPad stand, something that you would even have and you're
better than my homemade, handmade,
now,
crafted.
That is very nice, homemade, handmade iPad stand. I will give you that. But
it's beautiful.
What if you had an iPad stand that also allowed room for maybe like a Bluetooth speaker system so that you could watch shows and kind of even sit back a little bit? Jammer B, if you've got this website, it's the BKNY Design. Yeah, so this is, and if you just start scrolling down, the website is almost, they kind of have weird.
It's wooden.
Yeah, it's wooden. They sort of have weird visuals on here, but you get the idea. They're showing you how the iPad would fit inside the wooden casing, but then you see that is.
It's like those old-fashioned TVs.
Isn't that neat? Yeah, it's very Jetsons-like. That's underneath there is where you would house some audio, and it has a nice little, you know, sort of foam cover so that it wouldn't be sacrificing the sound of the speakers. I love this. This is from a design studio. I think they're in Brooklyn.
Can you buy that, or is it just a concept?
It's available for pre-order, and I could not find any pricing on their website
anywhere.
Well,
it's got to be expensive.
I would think, because it's custom-made, that it's not cheap, but they come in a few different wood
finishes.
That's a
Velux. That's a Velux, yeah.
Velux. All right, it's Elux, I believe.
Elux?
Yeah, with
okay.
an E.
Elux.
Might be wrong, but I think it's E. Yeah, but this is kind of cool. I guess you would still need a somewhat small room, because there's only so far back you can be from an iPad, and the screen's going to start seeming pretty small.
Yeah, you want it there. But that's how big those predictors were from the 50s. That's
right.
How big they were.
Well, a lot of people have
small
living rooms.
They were actually a little bit smaller, probably.
Or even bedrooms. Yeah. Or, I don't know. There are all sorts of little rooms that could go really well. And maybe you have a little reading nook. And you could have that in the corner.
I think it's cool.
You know, kind of, yeah.
You could play your little hipster game on your Philco TV.
Right. So thanks to Keith Steckler for pointing that out. The things that you find on Twitter, particularly for iPad stuff, is so great. I wish we could add everything in that we find every week. But
thank you.
Alas, it's only an hour show.
We are going to get our app caps on.
We are.
In a moment.
Yes. But quickly, before we do.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, please. I interrupted you.
I just want to make sure that everyone knows how to get a hold of us.
After 77 shows, still don't know how this works. So you go ahead.
Okay, you're a good faker. Just want to remind everybody, we love hearing from you. We try to add in as much of your feedback in every show as possible. Remember, we do this.
What she said.
iPadToday at twitch.tv is our email address. 757-504-IPAD is our Google voice number. Mm-hmm. Send us a voicemail. We didn't get any this week.
I don't even know
what's up with that. Is our voicemail box full?
Maybe
it's
full.
I don't think so.
Did you ever change that message?
No, it's the same one. I'm probably scaring people away. They're like, never mind.
For the first 20 episodes, you said how bad it was. And now you just kind of, I give up.
Well, now it's kind of part of our thing.
I can't figure out how to change it.
It's so lovable. Not really.
It's like your grandma.
For extra points, send us a video.
I don't know how it works. Leave that there.
When the answering
machines first came out, that you'd have... The messages on there would be like, I don't know how this thing works. What if you press the button? And that would be the outgoing message.
I do remember there would be the cassette tape, and every once in a while you'd flip it, you
by
know,
accident.
So that.
Yeah.
Well, no, you'd flip it you had a nice fresh side.
Right.
But if you took it out and played it in a tape recorder, it would play, because it would fast forward, and that's where all your messages would start piling up, because it was all the same tape.
Right.
And you could play these weird messages that overlapped each other. And then you'd find this one long romantic message that someone sent that went on forever, but it was a year before, and you saved the last half of it.
Did this happen to you?
Maybe that was just me.
I think that was just you.
You're looking at me like, that's weird.
Wow.
I don't think
long romantic year ago. Wow.
Well,
I feel like there's a story.
We talked
there.
On the phone a lot.
I feel like there's a story. Like there's a deep.
There are so many stories.
Hey, you know, we couldn't do this. By the way, did you give out the address and all that?
Yeah. We're good.
Do we want to tell people? Oh, never mind.
We've told them.
Okay. Is somebody making toast? Somebody's making toast.
Or the studio's burning down.
If this were smell
or you're having a stroke.
That's right.
Yeah.
You smell toast.
But
so that's why I'm asking you. Okay.
Okay.
So either we're both having a stroke.
And that's possible.
Or somebody's making toast. Okay. So we're going to get our app caps on in just a moment. Before we do, though, I got to tell you. We could not do this show. We could not do the finger. Do the finger. We couldn't do that.
With a crazy Franken hand.
Without the TriCaster. That's a TriCaster transition.
It's true.
See that? Look at that. The TriCaster is literally powers this whole operation. When I first started Twit, you know, I had a webcam up in the attic. And then eventually we got to the point where we said, we want multiple cameras. And I did a lot of research looking for what's a way to do this without building a $1 million television studio. And I discovered the TriCaster. Now, when I started, I got the little one and we got bigger and bigger. We're now using the incredible TriCaster 8500. Extreme with all the super features. It gives us the ability to do high def broadcasting, live switching. We couldn't have that turret that Jammer B's sitting at without the TriCaster. So we thank TriCaster. Actually, the company's New Tech. There you go. Look at that. NewTech.com if you want to know more. NEWTEK.com. We thank them for empowering us to do what we do, what Tech TV would do. Literally, we huge Grass Valley switchers, and it took 20
people in a control room.
This is it's just great. I love it. New Tech, NEWTEK.com. There's Kiki Stockhammer.
Hi, Kiki Stockhammer.
And that's the switcher we use. You see that? That's it. It's amazing.
It's the
boom.
It's the
Nicole, I'll give you an example. Nicole Lee was. I don't know who that is. That's not Nicole Lee.
No. That is, it? Is nothing like what Nicole okay. Lee looks like. Last I checked.
Nicole Lee, who is our newest producer, we just hired her, yesterday was learning how to use a TriCaster. Mm-hmm. She's sitting down, and she knows how to use it. It's amazing.
Anyway. You gave me a tutorial a couple of years ago.
Right. You were using it. You did This Week
in
Fun.
In fact, we streamed it, and in a couple of hours, I wouldn't say I was an expert, but I knew how to run the thing.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. If you
Put
know
your
a little
hat
bit
on.
About production. All right.
By the way, in honor of the NFL, the National Football League, we are representing our favorite teams today.
Are you a Bears fan?
The Bears. Actually, I do like the Bears.
I've always kind of liked the
Soldier
Bears,
Soldier Field.
Unless they play the Niners, of course.
Then I like
That's
the Niners.
That's my team.
By the way.
And, you know.
Aren't the Niners...
How about those Niners?
Fantastic this year. What are they, 10-3 now?
That's right.
11-3?
11-3.
Awesome! So,
Play it off. I'm going to play off. So excited. Hey... Niners fans know that this is very exciting.
Because
this doesn't
it's been a long time.
Anymore.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. The 80s seem like a long time ago.
The Joe Montana, Steve Young era, that's gone.
I know. But yeah. But they're back. All right, so.
I don't even know. Our quarterback this year is like who? I don't even know. Some guy.
I know. It's like you have to start learning everybody's names again.
Some
because
guy,
now they're relevant
but
again.
Some guy's good.
Some
all
guy's
of a sudden.
Got that
For
arm.
For years, he stank.
Wow.
But now he's good. So
now we love them again.
Niners.
Now we're paying attention. Niners. I feel like you're mocking me right now. That's okay. I don't care.
Go ahead, Leatherhead.
I don't care. Okay, so this is my app cap, and it's going to be amazing for anybody who's crazy about fonts. You know, people who love that movie, Helvetica.
Oh, yeah.
And are you know the kind of people.
Actually, I love Helvetica. That's
great movie. It's actually a really good documentary.
Yeah. About a font.
About a particular font that has happened to enjoy.
2 hours.
Have enjoyed quite a bit of success.
About a font.
About a font. Well, there's a lot of story to it. That's the thing about fonts is that you go... Could I think of anything more boring? But many of them have really interesting stories behind them and collaboration, and they got built off of some other font. Fontbook is the name of the app that I want to show you.
This is the big deal app.
Yeah, this is the big deal app.
It's the original.
It's $5.99. Fontbook.com is where you learn a little bit more about it. But once you have it installed, and I need to warn you that it was kind of a long install. This install took me 10-15 minutes, and I think a lot of that is because it was just pulling a lot of information offline. But you get fonts that are arranged alphabetically by class, by the year that they were...
Holy cow.
Yeah, that they were released
Now, these aren't the fonts... You don't have to have these fonts installed. This is like a... For somebody who does type design, this is like the font books that you would have.
Exactly.
Physical books
so
that you would
I
have.
So if I went to 1968.
Is it fonts from all companies?
Mm-hmm.
All
yeah.
the foundries?
Yeah. Fonts by variety of... I mean, certain designers, you'll start seeing their names over and over right. because they've been very successful. But let's, you know, go into syntax
wow.
here.
Wow.
So,
okay.
All right.
Sold.
Right? I know. Isn't that neat?
That's awesome.
So this is a Linotype, 1968, by Hans Edward Meyer.
So if you're a typeface junkie, this is, or a designer... This is an incredible program. For $5.99, that's amazing.
Exactly. So you can see how the font looks, you know, different in bold, different yeah. sizes. Then you see what it looks like in more of a, you know, like an article type of a look, right? You can even see, I don't really know what that was. Oh, I see. It's giving you like, well, here's the italic
and they
version.
Don't, I'm glad they're not using lorem ipsum. They're actually
it's kind of silly.
Bored with.
And then here is, you know, the light version. Again, it gives you a sense of what the font really looks
Cozy Lummox.
Then, yeah, at different sizes. So you really are like, oh, okay, well, this is maybe would be the kind of size that I might actually build an iPad app that had this sort of type. And then it gives you the alphabet. Okay, so I could go on and on, but you get the idea. I mean, that is how you can look through certain fonts, and then it'll tell you a little bit more about where it came from and, you know, some of why it's unique. But then you can also search by, if I go back to Font Book, to the beginning, you can search by designer. And some of these people, you know, again, none of these people I've ever heard of, really, but font people would be interested in. But you end up learning
a lot. These people are superstars in the font
world. Totally, especially if you're like me, where it's like, I'm extremely interested. I'm just not an expert, so I'm almost starting from scratch
here. This is neat.
So everything to me is interesting. I really like... Yeah, especially if, you know, let's say you're going to, I don't know, print out holiday cards. Or there are all sorts of ways that you could be extremely unique with fonts and not have to be working in some sort of a
advertising
sector.
Steve Jobs got started in design and really was heavily influenced throughout his entire career by a calligraphy class he took at Reed when he was like 18 years old. Mm-hmm. Typefaces are very important to modern computing and on the iPad.
And every once in a while you find something that you go, I really like this. You know, I want to know more about this. It looks interesting. This actually I don't really like that much, but maybe you do. So anyway, that's Font Book. You get the idea. There are a lot of different ways to search. And what's most interesting, you can also save fonts. You know, if you there's all sorts of fonts here, and so you don't get overwhelmed or search for particular fonts or favorite fonts, but you go ahead and buy a font. So if I end up really liking that font, and as we know that, you know, you buy fonts and then you can use them in your font libraries. This particular font is not cheap. FF Scala Jewel.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Four fonts for $160. Mm-hmm. But
so you don't get the font. You just get the come on.
Right.
Right.
Well, you, yeah.
You could buy it.
Right. Yeah. You could buy it if it means a lot to you. Some of the fonts are not as expensive. So that's Font Book. Good, fun, clean, fun font style.
It's clean fun.
Good, clean fun.
Now, mine is, I think, should have been the app of the year.
Wow. Can we all just look at Leo for a minute? And now that's a happy person.
I brought Lucille. This is the guitar that I've been playing my whole career.
Now, is this some of your kind of like high school, like pot smoking stuff?
I think I was pretty stoned when I did it. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got waves.
Well, they told me it was dry erase. It wasn't. It was permanent. But anyway, this here guitar and I have gone through a lot of times together, and I want to tell you, one of these days, I'm going to learn how to play it.
Well, I sure hope it's soon.
This program is so awesome. This is called Wild Chords, and it is probably one of the most interesting apps I've ever seen for learning an instrument. Now, you start off with the guitar tuner, and of course, I did this ahead of time. Although it's already out of tune. So you see, as I tune it, it goes green when I get it just right there. And you tune all the notes, so you got to get all good. Okay, now we're going to continue on. This is going to teach you. It's free, by the way. There are additional modules, $2.99 each. And you'll want to buy these as you get better and better. But this is the open chord. It's going to, watch, play an open chord. By the way, it's just picking up from the mic and in the iPad, picking up the sound. So the open chord, or they call it the O chord. Watch. So now let's continue and play along. So here we are. We're going to practice. This is a game that teaches you guitar chords. So it says strum here. See.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
So now this is not. This is the very beginning. I'm just learning the mechanics of the game. But you will actually learn chords and work your way up to songs doing this, playing this fun little game. This is beautifully designed. It's a lot of fun. I think they've really done a great job on this here. Wait, I got to do my...
You were just playing a tutorial there, so it was giving you 100 points that maybe you didn't deserve. Because you missed one, and it still said 100.
It still gave 100.
But you get
care.
The idea.
It's
almost like it's like Guitar Hero, but it's more of a learning rather than a game.
All of these people are learning how to, you know, Guitar Hero. Uh-huh. Wouldn't it be cool if you learn an actual instrument? Now,
yes.
I knew the new rock band, you use real instruments. This is fantastic. So now we're going to learn a chord. You want to learn a chord?
Yes.
All right. So chord trainer
learn
here.
The best chord.
Well, this is not the best chord, okay. But it's a good. So I'm gonna.
Good,
it's
solid
a good
chord.
Solid start chord. All right.
A proud
you ready?
Chord.
Okay. Let's see if I can play this. Boy, that sounds terrible.
I think your guitar could use a little tuning.
I tuned it.
All right.
Boy, it sounds awful. If some strings don't fill up, you see they didn't fill up, make sure you're holding them right and everything. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I think it's out of tune. This, you know, Lucille is an old guitar and doesn't hold the tune very well. But you get the idea. You get the idea. It will teach you the chords. It will move you along. Now, it's strumming. It's not, you know, you're not going to learn picking.
Yeah.
And remember, you're not going to learn good technique either, like how to hold the bridge and all that stuff, which you probably should learn if you want to be serious about an instrument. But for somebody like me who just, I would love to be able, you know what? I heard it's a great way to meet chicks. You put on your hat. You get your guitar. I gave my love a cherry that had no stone. So anyway, yeah. I'm not
a
guitar
chick
player.
Magnet. Wow. It's like magnetically attracted.
That's an
E
major.
The guy with the guitar at the airport is the last guy I want to sit
I know,
near.
Actually, you're right.
You know, you're like, oh, no,
yeah,
it's the guy with the guitar.
Oh,
but if you're really good, then you will impress.
So I did it. Doesn't sound very good.
So this is the best app ever.
I think this is amazing because I think people are going to learn how to play instruments in a fun, exciting way that's fantastic.
Well, if you've got a guitar, you don't really know what you're doing, you've got an iPad, it's a free app.
Got a guitar, got an iPad, learn how to play.
With wild chords.
It's called Wild Chord. I think this is very innovative, and I think we could see a lot of instruments.
Well, I look forward to next week when you come back as
a
real
guitar hero. I will work my way through the songs, and I'll play Camp Town Ladies for you.
You heard it here.
That you will die for. Doo-dah.
I like that song.
Doo-dah.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Camp Town Ladies, sing this song. Doo-dah, doo-dah.
All right, that's it for this edition of iPad Today.
Sure, instead of howling, let's end every show now with that. Doo-dah, doo-dah.
Okay.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Oh.
Doodah.
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 Free bird.
How?
This bird gotta fly.